But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, we've hit the noon hour, 12:01. Malusis with you, in for BT and Sal. You've got Alex and Dove across the way, rolling right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Get into some other things over the course of the noon hour. Let's head out to Floral Park. It's Justin. It's the Fan. What's going on, Justin?
Louis, how are you, man? Merry Christmas. Happy
Merry
holidays.
Christmas.
Happy New Year to you and your family.
You as well. You
appreciate it, man. Yankees, listen, I love what they're doing. They're getting better strikeout guys, whether it be a starter in Fried, the bullpen. They're getting better defensively. Would I have liked them to have signed Walker Buehler to a one-year, $21 million deal instead of the Red Sox? Yes, but I'm hoping Louis Heal turns out to be the stud they think he's going to be. Now, with that said, Moose, do you think they go third base or outfield as the last piece to bring back for this 2025 season?
I think they will go third base or second base.
Okay. So you think, do you think Jazz is playing second base or is he playing
third
base?
No, I think it depends on where they go. I think they could, they can make the argument of having Chisholm, give him more experience at third. He's athletically inclined, got the arm, can be able to do
right.
It, just needs the experience. We're going to plug him in third base. I think he's more comfortable defensively, probably going to get the best out of him offensively if he plays second base. That's why I'd probably lean that way, but I think that's where there are options here when you're looking with the Yankees. They've solidified first base for at least the upcoming year
right.
with Goldschmidt. You know, he's better in the second half for the St. Louis Cardinals, former MVP in 2022. But that's where I think that's where I would go, but I think it really depends on where the marketplace is. But yes, the Yankees are not done.
So if you're Cash, before I go on the range of point I want to make.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Gleyber at second? Do you go sign Bregman or do you trade for Arenado? If you're Cashman, what do you do?
I don't think Arenado's in the mix.
I agree. I hope not.
I don't think Nolan Arenado's in the mix.
I just thought he was because we got Goldschmidt. I heard they like best buds.
No, I understand that, but Goldschmidt's also got a good relationship with Judge. So
okay.
I would not think that the Yankees would go down that route with Nolan Arenado. Who are the other two? Gleyber?
I would say, would you go Gleyber at second? Move Jazz to third, or we go Jazz to second and send Bregman?
Yeah, I mean, Bregman would be great. It's just a matter of, do you have the appetite to go out there and spend the kind of money that it's going to take to go get him?
I would. He's a winning player.
Cash
got to get over that 2017 stuff. I get it.
I'll tell you the guy that, you know, that I'd be most, outside of all of that, the guy that I think would be Sasaki. I'd be really excited about.
Gotcha.
Now he's not going to cost you what Yamamoto cost you last
right.
year. You know, it's all the international pool signing money
mm-hmm.
that they have.
Which
Yankees
they got,
allocated
yeah.
some of that money to sign. I think it was a shortstop the other day for $1.5 million, 16 or 17 year old out of the Dominican Republic. So that's where I would look at if I were the Yankees would be, that's the guy. And they made their pitch the other day out in Los Angeles on Thursday, I believe it was
yeah.
just the same day the Mets did.
Okay. And then quickly on the Rangers, Moose, what
yeah.
is Drury's plan here? Because like, I don't understand. This team was 12-4-2. He made the stupid comment, we're open for business, and they've looked like a team that doesn't even belong in the NHL. So what is Drury's plan here? Basically, get rid of everybody and not build anything here? Because, like, I was 2 wins away from going to the Stanley Cup with my son after Goodrow scored that overtime goal against Florida, and now this team doesn't even look like they're going to make the playoffs. So what is Drury's plan here?
Yeah, Justin,
like,
I think right now he's scrambling. That's why at the meeting the other day before they took on the Dallas Stars, they responded, they played well against Dallas, and then you saw the performance yesterday afternoon, the 12:30 start at Madison Square Garden against the Carolina Hurricanes. It's a great question. Like, this is where, you know, and, you know, Drury deserves a mountain share of the blame here. And I understand he's got his apologists out there and the like, and, you know, holding people accountable and, You know, these guys are going to go out there and regardless of what's going on around him, they're still getting paid a ton of money, all of those things. That's all well and good. But you want to talk about a culture problem. There is a culture problem within the Rangers. And there is no question about it that the way that he handled Goodrow, and if you're, you know, you don't know to, you know, get around his no trade clause. He put him on waivers, picked up the San Jose Sharks, the threats that he made to Jacob Trouba, that Trouba said after he finally got dealt to Anaheim and he wanted him off the team. The fact that he couldn't move him last year at the NHL draft and he was still on the team and he was still the captain of this team and everything was as public as he was. His wife works in the medical field, so he still had 1 year left on her residency. He just had a baby. He didn't want to leave New York and therefore he invoked his no trade clause. I think he had like a 12 or 15 team no trade clause. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jacob Trouba was some pariah. So all of that has an impact. And if you think it doesn't, well, then you're a fool. Like, it, you know, sports are not played by athletes, especially when you look at the National Hockey League, where you're asking for guys to go out there and play banged up and hurt and with fractured feet and, you know, with lacerations, all of these things, get stitched up and go back out there. There's no better player to be around, professional athlete, more down to earth than the NHL player. But the NHL player goes out there, you know, for 82 games during the course of a long regular season, and you're asking them to lay it on the line each and every night in a sport, even though fighting has been limited, it is still a very, very physical sport. And you deal being hurt, not 100%. And I understand that that happens in the National Football League and the NHL, but if once you ask guys to go out there and do it, and then you start to lose their ear based on the way that you treat guys that you no longer want, that has an impact. And that's why Drury had the, you know, the come to Jesus airing of grievances meeting down in Dallas last week. What's his plan now? I don't know what his plan is. Am I going to go out there and celebrate the fact that he traded a guy that was the former second overall pick in Kaapo Kakko for a bag of pucks, you know, out to the Seattle Kraken? No, I'm not. And you look at this Ranger team now, how many shots on goal did they have in the second period yesterday against Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes? What, one, two? They got off to a good start. Everybody on social media, Ranger fans, were celebrating. How'd they look the rest of the game? And where do you go from here? Well, get rid of this guy, get rid of that guy. That's easier said than done. So, yes, I mean, sometimes you reap what you sow if you're Chris Drury, the president and the general manager of the New York Rangers, and you say to yourself, well, this is what you reaped. So now you've got to deal with it. So then how do you deal with it? What, Matt Redpe, who just got suspended for 8 games for his hit in Dallas, now all of a sudden he's going to be the solution to all this team's problems? Goodrow, winning player. How about this defense? Trouba, who's the only guy on that defense that would actually go out there and hit anybody. This team is as soft as tissue paper, reliant on special teams to go out there and score, and they're not emotionally connected. They can tell you all they want that they are, but when you watch them play on the ice, they're not. So how do they fix it? Well, it's go out there. I saw the reports like, Drury wants to go out there and make a big splash. For who? For who? They floated out there trying to get, you know, Brady Tkachuk from the Ottawa Senators. You know, they filed a grievance with the National Hockey League. Who are you going to go out there and get? Who exactly is going to change it? And I agree with you. That memo that he sent out, well, we're open for business, trying to get light a fire under this team. A team last year that won the President's Trophy. A team last year that had an unbelievable regular season. Yes, that fell short, got knocked around, beat up by the Florida Panthers in the Eastern Conference. Yes, I understand. We all witnessed him. We were all disappointed. The Rangers haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1994. That memo, that statement, that decision by Chris Drury put this team on this track where they are right now to go along with everything else. And there's not, it's not like you look at this group and say they are untalented. And you can fire Laviolette and say, oh, well, change the coach, change the messaging, all that. This is not Laviolette's problem. This is above Laviolette. This is a Drury problem. What's he going to do to fix it? Great question. Do I have a solution for you? I do not. because I don't know what guys here that are getting paid an unbelievable amount of money, all of a sudden another team's going to look at them as being a possible potential solution for their team. What exactly are you going to get? Are you going to dump it all? You're going to say rebuild? It didn't work? Chris Drury got this job. They fired Gordon. They fired Davidson. And Chris Drury got this job because people were telling James Dolan around the National Hockey League, you've got too much talent. You should be winning a Stanley Cup. And they haven't even gotten to a cup final. Let's head out to Dix Hills. It's Harvey. It's the Fan. What's going on, Harvey?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
How you doing, Harvey?
Pretty good. Happy holidays to us all. And we all have a lot to give thanks for. And it's nice that I caught up with you because, you know, I admire your extensive knowledge of sports, even though we disagree sometimes, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's what
that's the fun,
all
isn't
about,
it?
Disagreeing.
The fun of sports talk. I'd like to return to the draft from last year. I think we were both right, as it turns out. You know, a team, the Giants are a team, when a team starts competing for the number one pick, you know it's rock bottom, okay? And not the Super Bowl. So last year, I felt that the Giants should draft an offensive lineman, which was Ault at Notre Dame, and with one of the worst offensive lines ever in football, especially last year. And you thought that it was a great pick for Neighbors, and after the draft, right after the draft, I felt that the Giants, quote, that's my quote, had to draft a quarterback, and I love Bo Nix. I saw him with play a couple of games at Oregon. Not that I'm a quarterback coach. Michael Penix we saw yesterday, and he has skills. Okay, I think he was at Indiana and then 1 year at Washington. I never saw him last year. I think he was injured. And the Giants spent a lot of time with McCarthy. I'm saying the same thing this year. It may turn out okay. They may have their receiver in Neighbors, as you thought. You thought you're absolutely right. And I believe they still have to draft that quarterback. And since they may have that one or two pick, I think, and whether Water Sanders is the best, I have no idea. They have to draft a quarterback. Must.
Yeah, well, they're going to have an opportunity, Harvey, because they're probably going to have the number one overall draft choice. I also think it's, you know, sometimes quarterbacks, I think, the fact that Sean Payton fell in love with Bo Nix, I think is going to be very, very beneficial to Bo Nix. As an organization, you got to go out there and believe in the player and believe that you have the right system. So if the Giants didn't necessarily believe that about Bo Nix, so be it. And he landed in the right spot. Payton was happy with him, loved his experience, loved the fact that he didn't have a ton of negative plays collegiately, loved his leadership ability, and thought he could make it work, but it's also the way that you develop said quarterback as well in order to try and get the best out of said player. Let's head out to Beacon Falls. It's Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, happy holidays, Moose. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. You know, it's been a crazy season of football. Did you see what the rookie out of Washington did yesterday? Threw a pick, came back and won the game?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. Yes, he's very good. Very resilient.
Yeah.
Yes, they love
yeah.
him.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine that division next year. Shador, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels. I think it's going to be tremendous if the Giants go that way and if they get lucky enough to get him. I mean, I know there's a circus around him in New York, but, you know, I think he's won. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think it's either Sanders or Cam Ward. I mean, I do. I think you got to let
How
the
good
draft. I think he's more athletically gifted than Shador Sanders.
I haven't seen a single game of his all year. That's why I asked. But.
Oh, at Miami? Yeah. He's yeah. got a kind of a three-quarter arm delivery, but
right.
he's got a cannon for an arm. He can beat you a little bit with his legs.
Just need to coach.
Shador Sanders is not the athlete that Cam Ward is. But, yeah, I mean, if it ends up being Shador Sanders going number one overall, Deion thinks so, said on a podcast last week that he thinks his son is going to go first overall. And if he ends up being with the Giants, I think he can be successful. I think he's very, very accurate. I think he showed you tremendous toughness, but he's more of a pocket passer than he is a guy that's going to be able to go out there and run around like Jaden Daniels can, like Lamar Jackson can, stuff like that.
This guy, Penix, I mean, people said he had a great game. I mean, I thought it was okay. I mean, You know, it wasn't.
It was his first. It was his first NFL.
It wasn't
start.
His fault, to be honest. I know. I understand.
I mean, it was his first NFL start. He had a soft landing spot with the Giants. Penix can really throw it. He could at Indiana. He did at Washington. Went to the national championship game last year. Lost to Michigan. You know, I think as long as they get out of his way and they don't interfere with his progression, I think Michael Penix can have a successful NFL career.
Well, yeah, I think they'll need a new coach for that, but, you know, that's a discussion for another day. I think the Bills are going to win it all. I think it's their year. You know, that's where I'm putting my money on this year. I don't know. I mean, it's competitive. What are your thoughts? Who do you think is winning it?
Who do I think is winning it? I think, and mind you, I like the Jets before the start of the year, so that's not going to work out. For some reason, even though it's going to go through Kansas City, I don't think Kansas City gets there. Yeah, I could see Buffalo. I could see Baltimore. Baltimore's defense, especially back end, secondary, concerns me. I kind of like, I think it's either the Packers or the Eagles in the NFC getting through. Let's head out to Indian Hills. It's Tim. It's the fan. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, Moose, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
thanks for taking
Tim.
The call.
You got it.
I think with the Rangers, I think the problem started once they signed Shesterkin. With their goalie coach, Benoit Allaire, he's made every goalie that's ever been there really good, if not great. And then they just kind of lost a trading point. They could have gotten rid of Shesterkin and gotten a lot back for him with his contract midway through the season.
Yeah, so you're talking about they give him the $92 million contract. I think it was right around the same time they got rid of Jacob Trouba. The problem started before that.
Yeah, but what do you have to trade now? Who do you have to trade? Why, you know, that you're going to get anything back for?
But Shesterkin gives you – why would you trade somebody that is the greatest at what they do in the greatest league and say, I'm gonna get rid of that guy?
Because I think Benoit Allaire can make an average goalie really good. You saw it with Talbot, and I forget who the other guy that he got rid of, but he made Quick. He brought Quick back, and Quick's looked great. I just think overpaying for a goaltender, I think, is not the right way to build a team.
Well, that's fair. We can agree to disagree there. I have no issue with going out there and paying Shesterkin the kind of money. Now, the issue is that you hit upon it. In a salary cap world in the National Hockey League, it makes your job a lot more difficult. So the window, the fear that you have is the window is starting to close. Or especially with the way that the team has played as of late. They've lost, 12 of their last 16, that the window has closed on this group based on everything that you've seen this year. And you have every right to believe that. But if you want to say, well, I want to go in a different direction, I'm going to get rid of Shesterkin and I want to get accrue picks and young players and do that. Well, I'm not going to trade somebody that is fantastic. And Shesterkin is fantastic. He's the best at what he does. That's the guy that I want to keep. Now, as far as the rest of the group and the regression we've seen from the others, well, that there's a number of reasons why you've seen that this year. And we ran through a couple of those reasons a couple minutes ago.